God, this song doesn't come from any other place than other than you giving us your son, Jesus Christ, and him willingly giving up his life, dying in our place, taking our sins upon himself, and then rising again 3 days later. Father, this is the very reason that we sing, because of who Jesus is and what he has done for us. So we thank you for that. Father, even while we are sitting in a prison cell like the Apostle Paul, Father, we know that we still have a song to sing because it's all about you. We thank you for that. Now, God, as we are going to again open up your word, Holy Spirit, we ask for you, we invite you, we ask for you to be at work in a very special way, that you're opening our spiritual eyes to hear from you, Spirit. So just be at work in our hearts even now and pushing out the distractions. And we want to be drawn closer to you. We want to be filled with the Spirit. We want to be controlled and empowered by the Spirit. And we want to open up our hearts and our minds to that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, you can open up to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I was planning earlier this week to move into 2 Thessalonians, which is what we're going to do. Then after that, we're going to move into the minor prophets. I spent most of the past couple days actually preparing for the minor prophets. I'm more and more getting excited about that. But first, we're going to move through 2 Thessalonians. But early this week, I felt led, yes, I felt led, to stop on one particular verse. So I'm actually going to back up just a little bit. And I'm going to do something that's very unusual for me. I'm going to preach from just one verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and it's verse 19. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. You have your Bibles there. You can go ahead and see it. It says this: do not quench the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. Why am I doing this? Why am I backing up and focusing in on this one command in Scripture by the Apostle Paul? Well, I think there are a number of reasons. One of them is, well, it's the Word of God, so we're safe with that, right? If we talk about the Word of God, that's always a good thing. But then there are other reasons. I meet in a D group with some other men, and we recently were beginning to talk about the role of the Holy Spirit in our life. One of the things that we do in our D group, discipleship group, is we talk about what's really going on in our lives. We kind of lay that out there so that other people are able to enter in and pray with us. So we're beginning to talk about the role of the Holy Spirit. And so with that said, one of the things that I believe is this. I believe, and we're going to talk about this, what it means, of course, that you and I, we do, and I know this to be true because Scripture teaches it, that we have the ability to begin quenching the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. This may sound a little bit cheesy, but that's okay. As I was thinking about this sermon, you guys remember, this is a long time ago. You guys remember Stephen Curtis Chapman? You guys remember him? Probably in the late 80s, early 90s, my favorite song from Stephen Curtis Chapman was More to This Life. How many of you remember that song? Raise your hand. Yep, More to This Life. You should go back and listen to it. And the song is very beautiful. It's very powerful, but it gives a description of people just kind of walking through life, and he's looking in their eyes, and he realizes there's something missing. It's like they seem to just be kind of going Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, going through the motions, and the song is all about, but there seems to be something they're missing. But then he also goes to a gentleman, a man, who the same thing is happening to him, yet he's going to church. He's showing up on Sunday morning. He's kind of doing some of the right things, but yet there's a power, there's an energy, there's a passion that is missing in his life. And I think for each one of us, that can happen. That can and does happen. Let me ask you, this is a typical Pastor Michael question, right? How would you describe your spiritual life these days? Would you characterize your spiritual life as being filled with passion? Would you describe your spiritual life as being, there's a vitality to it, that there's a closeness, the intimacy that's there? I can't say categorically, I would be careful about doing that. I can't say categorically, if that's how you are feeling, if you're feeling somewhat distant from God, that you're quenching the Spirit. But I can say that that is a possibility. And so I believe the Spirit of God wants me to slow down and for us to stop and to think about this verse. What I want to do first, though, is this. And this is just following along in your notes. So it feels so weird. Normally, I read a whole passage of Scripture. I keep thinking, Michael, when are you going to read that passage of Scripture? I've already done it. I've already read 1 Thessalonians 5:19. That's what we're going to be talking about. But what I want to do first is this, is I want to ask and answer. We're going to be asking and answering a bunch of questions this morning. But the first two is this: who is the Holy Spirit and what does he do? Who is the Holy Spirit and what does he do? In conservative evangelical circles, we don't always talk a whole lot about the Holy Spirit, right? You guys know that? And for some of us right now, actually maybe, I don't know if it's true, maybe some of us are a little bit nervous, like quenching the Spirit and the Holy Spirit. We don't hear it talked about that much, and maybe just even the conversation begins to make us a little nervous. What is Pastor Michael going to say? But yes, we do. He is God, and so we need to understand who he is. We need to understand what he does. And as we understand who he is, and what he does, that'll help us to have a greater understanding of what it means to actually quench him. If we don't know what he's trying to do, we may have a real hard time understanding how we quench him or what that looks like. So I'll say this, who is he? The Holy Spirit is the third person in the Trinity. I think we have it up here and in your notes as well. The Holy Spirit is the third person in the Trinity, of the Trinity. There's the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Oftentimes in Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, you will hear the Spirit described as a cloud, the wind, a dove, and fire, right? But what you need to know is those are all descriptions of what he is like. The Holy Spirit is not the wind. The Holy Spirit is not a fire. The Holy Spirit, listen, he is a person. He's a person. Three persons, one God. And so we need to understand that. When we become Christians, we are given the gift of the Holy Spirit to live inside of us. Think about this. The very moment that you placed your faith in Jesus Christ and you were born again, you had then and you have now the Spirit living inside of you. Think about the song that we just sang, How Great Thou Art, right? And you think about, this is a God who created the entire universe. All the stars, the galaxies, right? He created it all, but yet somehow supernaturally, if you are a child of God, you have him living inside of you. I think we would all acknowledge that's a pretty amazing miracle. So he's described as a fire. He's described as a dove. He's described as a cloud, but he's a person and he is God. What does the Holy Spirit do? When was the last time you thought about that? Well, I'm going to share this with you. This is straight from the EFCA. And here's the EFCA's description. This is part of the statement of faith. So here's what we believe the Holy Spirit does. We believe that the Holy Spirit and all that he does glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ himself said that. I think it's in John 16. He said, the Holy Spirit is going to come. Let me tell you what he's going to do. He's going to glorify me. This is Jesus talking about himself. So this is one of the things the Spirit does, is he puts a spotlight on Jesus Christ so that we will see him and know him. He convicts the world of its guilt. He regenerates sinners. And in him, they are baptized into union with Christ and adopted as heirs in the family of God. We're not done yet. He also indwells, illuminates, guides, equips, and empowers believers for Christ-like living and service. And so the Holy Spirit does a lot. He is God. And one of the things that he is all about is helping us, you and I, to understand the beauty and the majesty of Jesus Christ. Think back to the early pages of Acts on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came to indwell Christians full time. It wasn't the Holy Spirit coming upon someone and empowering them for a short period of time. There at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came and he came to stay. He came to indwell Christians. When that happened, how did the demeanor and the life of the disciples change once the Holy Spirit came and indwelt them? It was pretty profound, wasn't it? They went from a bunch of scaredy cats, many of them, to being filled with the Holy Spirit and actually willing to lay down their life for the cause of Jesus Christ. That was because of the Comforter coming, the Holy Spirit. The second question we need to ask is this: what does it mean to quench the Holy Spirit? So the Apostle Paul is telling us, do not quench the Spirit. And so if he's saying that, what that means by logical deduction is that it is possible for you and I to do this. And so I'm sure I have told you this, but we just need to go back over it quickly. To quench means it's really a metaphor in many ways of pouring water onto a fire. And in the New Testament, this word quench is used in just that way. To put out a fire, to extinguish, to put out, to stop. And so that's what it means. It means to pour out the to pour out water, so to speak. Things that we are doing in our life, we have the ability to quench, to stop the work that the Holy Spirit wants to do in us. And so since that is true, what you need to be thinking is, dear God, what can I do that would actually cause that to happen? Well, I'm just going to say this real quick. And I think this is a 2022 disease, so to speak. It's a challenge for you. I think a lot of times we're so busy, we wouldn't recognize it if it were happening. Or we're so used to being the guy in the song who's just kind of going through the motions. There's a distance between him and God. There's a distance. What the Holy Spirit used to be doing in his or her life, it's not the same. And we've just kind of gotten to the place where we don't know any different. It's just been that way for so long. We need to understand what's going on in our soul. Our soul could be a very dark place. I know mine can be. So I'll also say this, the idea that we can quench the Holy Spirit, this should be shocking to us. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is not a dove. The Holy Spirit is not the wind. The Holy Spirit is God, the one who spoke and created the universe, everything. And so for you and I to hear this morning, and this is one of the things that happens in my life as I think about it, we need to be shocked by that. There's something that you can do in your everyday life that is stopping the Holy Spirit from using you the way that he wants to use you, from transforming you the way that he wants to transform you. So you and I should be, is that really possible? That I can stop God himself from being at work in me? Well, based on the authority of Scripture, we would come to the conclusion, yes, that is possible, which of course is and should be shocking to us. The work of the Spirit, this is not exhaustive, but the work of the Spirit is quenching us, I believe, in two primary ways. And this is based on that passage I just referred to in John 16:14. Where Jesus said, he will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. And of course, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. And so if it is true that the Holy Spirit is shining a light on the work of Jesus Christ and pointing lost men and women to the work of Jesus Christ, and then if he's at work in you, the Holy Spirit, if he's at work in you primarily so that the image of Jesus Christ would be formed, that helps us to understand how we can quench the Spirit. So I have two suggestions for you. I think there are more. One, the Spirit wants to form in us the image of Jesus Christ. That's one of the things the Spirit wants to do. And then the second thing is this, the Spirit wants to work through us so that you and I will make a difference in this world. So the Holy Spirit wants to work in us so that we are being transformed into the image of Jesus. But then the Spirit also wants to, it doesn't stop there. Spirit also wants you to be used in such a way that you're thinking about the broken and lost world all around you. When I was a young boy, so long ago, when I was a young lad, I lived in two places that were very close. One was Needles, California, and the other was Golden Shores, Needles, California. Other was Golden Shores, Arizona. They weren't that far apart, I don't know, a long time ago, maybe 30 miles. In between them, there was the river, the Colorado River. And when I was a young boy, our family, we would go to the river frequently. I mean, Needles, California, it's one of the hottest places in America. It's blazing hot. So the Colorado River, I think, runs about 1,500 miles. It goes through about seven states in our country. And I remember just the vitality of that river flowing very fast, very full. It's the kind of thing that you actually had to be careful about going, where I lived at least, going out into the river. We had a lot of fun with it. We also had to be careful. When I went back, I'm like hyper nostalgic person. I don't know why that is, but the days of my youth, it's something that just kind of stays with me. And there's always a fondness, sometimes almost a pain that is there that makes me weird, but it's there. So I have gone back to many of the places that I lived over the course of my life. I remember going back with my father, Lee Wallenmeyer, going back to Needles and to Golden Shores. And I remember coming up on the Colorado River, and I was like thinking, you've got to be kidding me. Like, something's wrong with this river. I remember this big, huge, flowing river. Then 8 years ago, I went back. I'm like, something's wrong with this river. And of course, what we know now is this, is that the power of it, the amount of water, has greatly decreased. Some of the reasons for that are things like dams that have been built. The water has been diverted many other places. The reason I share that with you is this, is just to get you thinking. Is it possible that that kind of thing has happened in your life spiritually? Is it possible that where the river used to flow with vitality, there used to be passion and energy for God and the things of God, where maybe now you would look at your life as like, it's not flowing the way that it used to. And so what we need to do is consider, are there things that we are doing to block up this river? Again, knowing ultimately that we're talking about a person, we're talking about the Spirit. So that's a little bit of the effects, but let's go into greater detail. What are the effects when we quench the Holy Spirit? Next question, next point. What are the effects? This helps me as I remembered this. As I think about the effects, the passage, I went into great detail, at least from my perspective, when I preached through this passage last Sunday. When I preached this passage last, if you remember, the context of this passage is relationships, right? I mean, it's about relationships between us and leaders in the church, this passage. It's a passage about the relationships you have among yourself. And it's also a passage that's talking about relationships that you and I would have with God. So this passage is all about relationships and relationships with each other, relationships with God. And so as we think about what when Paul says, do not quench the Spirit, if you just step back for a moment and you look at the passage, it helps you to understand, okay, what could be the impact? What might Paul be saying based on the verses that surround this? Now I'm going to give you a couple of suggestions. Things that are actually not more than suggestions, things that are here. It is challenging because in this passage, there's so many commands, right? But one of the things that I believe that happens is this, there's a lack of joy and intimacy with the Lord. Why do I say that? Well, in the passage that I just read from, the Apostle Paul talks about being thanks always and rejoicing in the Lord. And so one of the things, and this is just for us to begin to maybe to evaluate our own life, the Apostle Paul is saying that we need to rejoice. And this is a fruit of the Spirit. This is a supernatural occurrence. This is not just being temporarily happy. This is finding deep and abiding joy in who Jesus Christ is. I believe that if we are quenching the Spirit, we're going to look at our life and find it's not there. There's not much of it. That joy that we used to know, that we're missing out on that, and an intimacy with the Lord. Here's another thing that I believe that affects happening if we're quenching the Spirit, is there is a lack of power when it comes to living a victorious Christian life. There's a lack of power when it comes to living a victorious Christian life. And I'm going to go more into that, why I think Paul is leading us in that direction in just a moment. But maybe where there used to be a hatred for sin in our life, now we would say, I've just become super comfortable with it. The things that I used to do, and I would have a hatred for them because I knew that they were opposed to the ways of God. And I used to hate it, and I used to repent so quickly and confess so quickly. Pastor Michael, right now, I'm just in the middle of it, and I don't know if I really even care that much. I've almost given up. And so what the devil has done through that sin, that ongoing sin, he's kind of set us to the side. There we are on the sidelines, and God wants to use us. We're quenching the Holy Spirit. So, here's probably the most important question we can ask and answer as we think about this. What can we do to be filled with the Holy Spirit? What can we do not to quench the Holy Spirit? And one of the things you need to know is this, is that, and as I'm thinking about it, like, man, it would be great just to have gone to these passages. But one of the things that the Apostle Paul commands us is that you and I are filled with the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? So that's interesting, because when you become a Christian, you get all of the Holy Spirit. It's just a truth. Get all of the Spirit. So it's interesting. The Apostle Paul, writing to Christians, would say you need to be filled with the Spirit. What do you think that means? I'll tell you what that means is that if you and I want to be empowered by the Spirit, if we want to see our life energized by the Spirit, then we need to pursue God. We need to make Him first in our life, and we need to remove everything in our life that would keep the Holy Spirit from doing the work that He wants to do. So what can we do to be filled? Well, based on what I just said, this will be no surprise. We must, and I think I have these here. We must ask the Spirit to reveal to us anything in our life that we need to repent of. We must ask the Spirit to reveal to us anything in our life that we need to repent of. I would say, I think this is probably number one. Those times in my life, and this has happened, those times in my life where I start to sense that I'm grieving the Holy Spirit, which is another thing the Apostle Paul commands us not to do. And you can grieve the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit is a person. That means that we have the ability to make the Holy Spirit sorrowful. When this happens in my life, and it does happen, one of the things that I know is this: there are times in my life where the Holy Spirit will begin to say, Michael, here's this habit, here's this thing, and I'm calling you to give it up. Can't keep doing it. And so I could just tell you that when that happens, I begin to feel the grief that I'm causing the Holy Spirit. I begin to feel it in my own life. There's a heaviness, like, dear God, I need to let this go. Oftentimes, it will require talking to some other people. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. So what I want to encourage you this morning is this: would you say that there is an area of your life that is not surrendered to God? Would you say that there's an area in your life where you're like, I've just gotten comfortable with this. I know full well it's a sin, It's a habit. It's an action. It's something that I'm not doing that I should be doing. Is there an area in your life? Because there is a great possibility that what you are doing, the Holy Spirit wants to bring life to you, wants to bring joy to you, wants you to flourish with the life of God inside of you. But instead, what you and I do is we're saying, no, I want this instead. And God is calling each one of us to something so much better, something so much greater. Number two, what can we do to be filled with the Spirit? We must pray and immerse our lives in the Word of God. We must pray and immerse our lives in the Word of God. I know that sounds like Christianity 101, right? There's no shortcut. If this book is not sweet to us, right? If we find that during the week we're not getting into this book and that we're amazed because it's pointing out who God is, then what we're going to find is we're going to find that we're very limited in power. We're going to find that we're not living the way that God has called us to live. And so for you and I to be filled with the Spirit, it's really not that mysterious. Like, I have no idea what that means. Yeah, we do know what it means. It means that we have to be in the Word. This is how God speaks to us. There is power in His Word to overcome those areas in our life. We don't need a new formula. We don't need to figure out something new. And we also need to be praying. The Word is God speaking to us. Us praying is us talking back to God. A simplification for sure. So I just want to encourage you, New Life Church, if you're feeling, again, you're feeling like, man, I'm not where I should be, then you need to go back to the Word. You need to go back to prayer, and you need to incorporate these into your life. Number three, we must seek to use the spiritual gifts that God has given to each one of us. We must seek to use the spiritual gifts that God has given to each one of us. Okay, Michael, kind of picking up on the rest of these, where are you getting that at? Well, the context of this passage, the Apostle Paul is talking about a group of people who are suspicious about the gift of prophecy. I've already given you the definition of prophecy. You all have that memorized, amen? I did. I gave you the definition. I'm going to give you the a week later definition off the top of my head, so it might change a little bit. But basically, prophecy is this, is it's the Holy Spirit impressing upon your heart something that someone else needs to know, an encouragement or maybe a warning, collective testimony of the New Testament. I believe that's what it means. So as I'm talking about quenching the Spirit, now I'm talking about spiritual gifts. I'm just pointing out to you how I got there. The Apostle Paul is talking about spiritual gifts in the midst of the church. So what I want to encourage you is this. we have such a tendency to like want to learn, take the questionnaires about our spiritual gifts. How many of you have ever taken a test about what your spiritual gifts are? Raise your hand if you ever. All right, so many of you, we evangelical Christians, we love to do that. Like, right, we love to do that. It's really not super helpful. It's okay to do it. There's nothing wrong. Here, if you want to know what your spiritual gift is, I could tell you right now. You ready? All right. Get involved in the life of the church. In those areas where you feel like that you have some passion, get involved in the life of the church. Those areas like, man, I've always wanted to serve God in this way. And then what you do is you listen to other people, you get some feedback from them, and you watch, where is it that God is using me? I'm finding there to be passion, and there's some level of it being effective. And so what happens is this, and here is, they're like, they heard about the prophecy, like, I'm scared of that, don't want anything to do with that. And so what they're doing is they're quenching the Holy Spirit. You and I can do the same thing if we're like, I know what my three gifts are, and I'm not using them, then what that means is you're quenching the Holy Spirit. What a beautiful, powerful thing it would be if everyone who is a part of New Life Church knows what their gift is, and then secondly, they're getting involved in the church, and they're using their gifts. We don't want to quench the Holy Spirit. He doesn't want to just work in me. He wants to work in me and through me. Number four, then I'm going to be done. We must open ourselves up to others and allow them to see who we really are. We must open ourselves up to others and allow them to see who we really are. I'm definitely not going to have you raise your hand right now, but men and women, how many of you on a regular basis are going to someone else, preferably of the same gender, right? And you're being really vulnerable about what's going on in your life. I don't mean just the Bible study level, like, oh, Jeremiah is super interesting, but yet we're not really talking about who we are. How many of you are like opening up the struggles that you have, the areas where you're like, you know full well that you need accountability, you need other people to be speaking into your life? I want to say, just pastorally speaking, I believe this is one of the main reasons that we get stuck where we're at spiritually. It's because we have a bunch of stuff going on in our life and we're keeping it hidden from everyone. We're not opening up to other people. And so there's no opportunity for them to speak the truth in love into our lives. And so for each one of us here at New Life Church, if this is your church home, you need to be of the mindset, I am going to be moving into relationships where I can tell people and communicate what's really going on in my heart. Because I need people to pray for me. I need people to encourage me. Not just the surface prayers, but what's really going on in the darkness. I have areas of my life that are dark, right? It's a sin nature. So do you. And if we always keep people away, what we have to realize is relationships in the church, this is the instrument of God to bring about change in our lives. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to bow your head. The worship team is going to come up here. This is always important. This morning, even more important. What I want you to do right now is I want you to refuse to think about other things. And I just want you to ask this question of God. God, what are you trying to say to me personally this morning? Not a critique of the sermon, not a critique of the worship songs. Push that out of your mind. But instead, you ask God, God, what are you trying to say to me this morning? And then I want you to ask him, God, give me a willingness, an openness to move out in obedience based on what you are telling me. We're just going to have a moment of silence. I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that between you and the Lord, and then I'll pray for us and we'll sing. So you can look up here. We're going to sing. But I just want to encourage you with this thought, and this is really important. If right now you're sensing that the Spirit of God is asking you to give up something, or maybe to do something, I just want to remind you, and this is so good to know, that whatever it is that the Holy Spirit is asking you to give up or to do differently, you need to be reminded that it's always for your good. Sometimes these things, whatever it might be, it's hard to give up. God is not just saying, I want you to give this up and I'm going to make you unhappy in the process. God knows that he is better than whatever you need to give up, whatever you need to confess, whatever you need to change. Giving it up is always worth it because it increases our intimacy with God. So just be encouraged by that. You're really not giving anything up. You're only gaining greater intimacy with God. Let's stand together and we'll sing.